I want to see you, to see you high in the shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love.
Amen. You love it.
Sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory.
You love him.
Pour out your power and love.
Amen. Now I want to see him, don't you? It's a good time. Good afternoon. We've had to where that we've had an opportunity given unto us that mankind has always desired, and that was to be able to know God. Because even your prophets and things desired back there to look into it, couldn't see it. But you and I can see it through the revealed word. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to 1 Peter. And then to 1 Peter 1, then to 2 Peter 1. Now remember, the fellowship meeting will be at Brother Longora's this coming Saturday, 3:30. Brother Duck Scott, they said, is ministering for there. So remember that and try to go if you can. And all we're planning on going if nothing don't take place. We are doing it, but we had a little incident happen this week. The devil tried to get us away from a lot of things, and we had a little, we were working on our dam around the lake, and I kind of took a tumble into the lake. And about that time, here comes Zach in after me, so he got to wrestling with me, trying to get me up enough to get me on solid rocks, and then Terrence reached down and yanked me out, and he got Zach out, so, you know, thank the Lord for taking care of us. Somebody standing there right in handy, you know, to pull us out. And what was so funny, I had my hat on backwards because we'd been working and had the bill backwards, my sunglasses on. Go down in the water, come back up, get up on the bank. I said, hey, I didn't even lose my glasses. They were still on, sitting on my hat, you know, so I was doing pretty good. But we thank the Lord for being there. And you just pray for Zach. He bummed his knee up a little bit trying to wrestling around in the water and everything. So, amen. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see those back. I'm sure you had a good time for the weekend. And just, we had a good time here. So we pray that you'll just remember us tonight and that our hearts would be set on one thing. To see what's taking place in this hour. That's fine to speak about the past. We do that. It's great to speak about the future, but we're supposed to be content with what's taking place now, right now among us, because that is the true point that we need to know. So I hope that'll ring a bell with you tonight as we try to get through the message. Amen. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love and all for us, Lord, and for taking care of us and guiding us. And Lord, we ask you to just be with us tonight in the service. Remember those that are sick and not able to be with us, and just touch each one and let your heart, Lord, be there for them to tune in and hear and desire to think about these things with us. Thank you for internet and the things that we can now do like we can do and don't have to miss services, but we can, you know, kind of enjoy it. We love you and we thank you. Have your way with us in the service tonight. Forgive our sins and just let your loving grace be with each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. And then 1 Peter, because we've been on this for quite a while. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, so that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, how are you born? You're born by the incorruptible, or the word that is made alive. Is that a better way of saying it? The word that is made alive is your new birth. Now let's go to 2 Peter. All right. Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now we're all called to that. What? Glory and virtue, right? Strength and eternity of all things. Okay. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, keeping your thoughts in mind of what we've been trying to bring out, I wanted to kind of take each virtue tonight. I had that planned, but it never did work out. So, you know, you're looking at things and you say, well, I'll bring this out. Well, sometimes you don't get to bring out what you want to bring out. So I hope it's God doing it, not me changing to myself, but I wanted to, and we'll try, Lord willing, to do that maybe, you know, this coming Sunday and get everything in order if we can. But I want to talk to you about something that I want you to notice. I've tried to make little points. They're valuable to me now. It may not be valuable to you. You may not think about the things that, you know, that a minister will think of or whatever, just like there in 1 Peter where it says, being born again. Then he tells you how. By the incorruptible word. Well, all right, now, where is there any thoughts of any way of the new birth being anything besides the birth of the word? You know, what would be anything could be in relation. See, the birth of the word is just what the scripture says it is. It's God made alive in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right. Now, keep that in mind, because we kept hammering a little bit our Sunday on to one point for you to get and to think about. We were talking about that it says there, add to your faith virtue. Now, I'll say this and then repeat it again in a minute. It does not say add faith. That may not mean a thing to you, see. You say, well, that's just, you know, it may not mean anything to you, but see, that makes me stop and think. It says add virtue, add temperance, add patience, add godliness, right? But it does not say to add faith. Why not? Amen. Why would it not say add faith? See, that's, you know, maybe it's just my abilities or forms, you'd call it human intelligence. When I look at something, I try to look at it as to the point of what is being said, you know, to us. And it says there in 1 Peter, for us being born again. Well, you know what being is? Being is a process of something going on. Being born again, all right? The new birth, the process of the new birth starts from your beginning, you know, at justification, goes all the way through your journey to the sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and in the, you know, coming forth, and in the pyramid coming up through, and adoption, and all of the things, and you're still with one scripture. Being born again. Because that's what's taking place. Something is going on in your life. Something is going on each day in our lives. We are being born again. By what? By the incorruptible Word. All right? Then why would we not want the Word? You know, why would we not be more concerned? That's where people have said it about Lula. They say, oh, all they are up there are just word, 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 word. Well, thank God for that. I mean, I'll say that whether you will or not. I'll say thank God for the word, because to me it's the Word all the way through. It was the Word that started the world. It was Word before the world ever started. It'll be the Word after the world is ended. All the things are through, it'll still be the Word. Well, why wouldn't we want to think about it when He's the Word? And it's Christ in you, birthed into you, to give you His own life. Okay, now, think of that thought now for just a little bit, and we'll get back to it. Think of it. Why does it not say? See, it doesn't say, add faith. It doesn't say that. It says, add to your faith, virtue. Add to your virtue, knowledge. Now remember, you can't jump up the ladder. Remember, it's got to be vulcanized together, right? So it's all got to be the same material. You remember that in the services previous? It's all the same material. It's all the Word being revealed. The new birth is the Word being revealed. Adoption is the Word being revealed. The seals being revealed. The 70 weeks of Daniel, the things that we have in the message being revealed to us. And it's going to bring somebody to a change of the body. All right? And I want to be one of them, don't you? I mean, that's the point I want us to get. All right? But now look. See, it says add, not, it don't say add faith. Pull it back up where everybody can read it. If you want me to, well, pull that back up, brothers of the Peter, and let's just read verse 5. Because I want you to keep that in mind. It's going to be valuable as we go along. Now watch when it gets to verse 5. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge temperance and temperance patience. But it doesn't say add faith. Faith is not a virtue. Faith is a birth. See, in the prophets, if you remember all of what we taught, he says, you can't be born again without having faith. That's stature of perfect man. He says, and when you're born again, you have faith. You just start into a place to grow. What? When you get faith. All right? So then, it doesn't say, add faith. It's saying what it wants to say because of the point that is, to me, that God's trying to get across to us. Amen. It starts in your new birth. Amen. And your new birth is faith. Amen. So you don't add faith. How would you add faith? What would you add it to? Well, see, then all the virtues are added to the faith. Right? See, they can be put on the faith. And all because faith, the prophet said, is the foundation of all Christianity, is based upon the faith of God revealed to you and I. Amen. All right. But see, it doesn't say for to add faith. And the prophet said, have faith and be born again. Then these are the things that God expects us to add. Right? The virtues can be added, to your foundation, but your foundation's got to be the thing that holds you up. And the foundation of all Christianity is faith in the Word of God. Right? Faith in the Word of God is the foundation for all things. Uh-huh. See, then having done that, then, see, you start out at faith, and you have faith and be born again, the prophet said. Uh-huh. So the new birth is faith. Now, watch what we're getting to. What was we talking about Sunday? It's your faith. Now, that is not your faithfulness. That's the human intelligence of mankind trying to interpret the Word of God. Your faithfulness is not what it is. That's just your faithfulness to believe God and do what God does. That's not God's faith.
Right.
Right, but see, the new birth is God's faith, revelation, word revealed to you. All right? Now, take that as being his faith given to you. And what did the prophet say that we read from from the statue of perfect man? He said, this is my eye. He said, God gave it to me. He said, this is my arm. God gave it to me. All right? He said, like it was with Mary, right? God gave Mary the promise that come all the way from Genesis 3:15, that I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman. Woman don't have a seed. So she had to be given a seed. She was given a seed. Now, Seth was not that seed. He was just how did the prophet say it? In other words, like a replacement. But he was not that seed. Jesus Christ is that seed because he was the one that was given to Mary. And it became Mary's seed. Right? It became her seed because God gave it to you. God's not an ending giver, so we don't count it that, well, he done that, he give me this. And see, don't try to add all of the other things as we'll get to it later. You say, well, I've been in the message and studying this message 40 years. I think I got knowledge. That's not the knowledge Brother Branham's talking about. Right? See, that's why I wanted to get into each one of those verses, and we'll try to pick it up Sunday, where he says, now virtue, he said, now that's not trying to live a virgin life. He said, not in this case. And it comes out to be an odd thing to where he said, and virtue is what? Strength, he said. And said, you've got to have a pace to let it out. We'll get to those things, Lord willing, Sunday. But I want you to think about it. Because, see, it does not say add faith. It says add to your faith. See, God has given us the new birth. That is your faith. That's not your faithfulness to believe him and accept him and do this, that. No, no. All that's well and good. But that's not the new birth. The new birth is God coming down to giving to you his own very life. Placing within you his own very life. But once he does it, it becomes yours. He's not going to take it back. That's what I love about it. See? God is not going to take back what he gives you. Because he gives you his own life. And he says, add to your faith. Yeah. All right? So he says, have faith and be born again. He said, now that's your foundation. But he says, now this is my eye. Paragraph 92 of oneness. This is my eye, number 5, if y'all want to pull it up. This is my eye. He gave me this eye. But you know what? It becomes mine. Now he's illustrating it to show you how much stronger it is to just say, give me this and this is my eye. See, he takes it to Mary and showing Mary is given the seed of the woman. Now Eve wouldn't give that, so don't get your mind in a jangle and, no, wait a minute now, what's Mary got to do with this? We're talking about Eve over here. Now that's back there. Just listen. Because you'll get your mind all jumbled up and trying to, well, how come is he using Mary? Brother Brown's using Mary because it wound up to be the seed of the woman, which was Jesus Christ, that was given to Mary. It became her seed. Like Brother Larry come through the office Sunday, he said, and God give me a seed. Well, we better get serious about thinking about it. If he give me a seed, it's mine. And like I always say, you know, it's kind of carnal, but this is my Bible. It don't belong to you. This is my Bible. You may have one like it, but it's not this Bible. This is my Bible that God gave to me. I think Brother Collie gave it to him, I'm not certain. But see, it become mine. So is the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is Jesus Christ. He came through the virgin womb to bring forth the product to pay for our debts and things like that. Because he come to pass down that unto you and I. All right? Now watch what I'm getting at then. The first thing is to be born again. Because in that then, if you're born again, don't worry about the virtues until you get born again. You can say, well, I've studied statue of perfect man. I think all this work on faith. I work on virtue. I work on knowledge. Huh? No. You'll worry yourself to death and won't get nowhere. Go the way God says it. Have faith and be born again. Then you can talk about virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and things. But first, have faith and be born again. All right? And see, then when you do, now watch what I'm talking about. See, he says, it's my eye. God gave it to me. The new birth is yours. It becomes you and God together as one in the new birth. All right? See, then Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. God had put his own life into the Apostle Paul. It became Paul's faith.
Amen. Right?
Then, see, ever born again believer. Not just Mary now. Mary was just the part of the transmitter or the point of being used for the time. She was just into that area. But you see, she, now here's Brother Branham. We'll get back to this. If you don't read Masterpiece and, Seed Not Air with a Shook. You know what Brother Brown said? Mary's not the seed. Read the message and see what he said. But Mary was the seed. No. See, read what Brother Branham said. He said Mary was not the seed. The seed was in Mary. The seed was Jesus Christ. Now, physically speaking, Jesus Christ was in Mary, right? But spiritually speaking, that never gave her the new birth. She still had to be born again. She was not saved just because she could say she had within her. So now you see why the prophet is saying. He said, Mary is not the seed. He said she represented Azusa Street of Pentecost. He said, they were not the seed. They were a carrier. And that's what Mary was. She was a carrier of the natural life. Jesus Christ was that seed. See, so she couldn't say, I have the new birth because I have God within me. That's what we say, isn't it? You know, I mean, you ask the kids, and what do you say? Say, where's God at? He's right in here. Right? See, we claim the new birth is God living in us, and that's perfectly right. But just remember, Mary had to go to Pentecost to get the new birth. The seed of the woman then was Jesus Christ. And do you realize then on the day of Pentecost, I believe Mary was in the upper room, right? On the day of Pentecost, there was not just one person, there was 120. You know what that 120 had? They were not just Mary carrying a seed. See, Mary then become born again, right?
Amen.
But you know what? The 119 had the same thing she had. Right? Because each one had the new birth. Come on then. Then each one could say, this is my faith. Just as well as she could say it. In other words, Mary would say, what I had within me was wonderful and great and all. But said I even had troubles with it myself. You remember she did. She denied it and everything else, you know. But said I had trouble, but said now, I'm not just a carrier of the word. I am now the seed itself. But you know what? Peter sitting right there, he's same thing. James, John, all of them, same thing. Paul on the road to Damascus, wasn't 120, on the road to Damascus, running by himself. When he got through, what did he have? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He had the new birth, which was a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to him. Right? What did Brother Branham say the new birth was? Christ, the mystery of God revealed. What did he say? He said the new birth is a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. See, that becomes something that Mary had this that could be brought forth from her, which would be for everybody else, but then would be for her too, by her accepting it. I'm talking about the Savior, the Christ. But until she received that, she did not have eternal life. Yet she had within her, she had within her the one that would bring eternal life. Well, she did not know eternal life. That's why that the people don't get that. They don't listen to Brother Branham. They don't pay attention to the Bible.
Amen.
I knew when I was in the Baptist church that the Old Testament people didn't have the new birth. Now you can say, well, that's just, you know, that's Brother. Well, okay, forget it. Is it true? Well, what does it matter who brought it? Like what the lady said that time, said, you know, she was hungry and some boys come and brought some food and set it on her porch and she come out and hollering and screaming, praise God for the food, praise God for the food. Little boys walked up and said, ma'am, said, we brought that food. Us boys brought that food. She said, thank you, Lord, for the food and the ones that fought it. You know, the ones that brought it. Thank you for them. Huh? But see, do you understand what I'm saying? See, they did not have that new birth back there. Because Jesus Christ had not died. See, the seed of the woman had not been transmitted. That's what I'm saying. Don't get tied up. Well, the seed of the woman back there in Genesis 3:16. That's Eve. No, it ain't Eve. You better get out of there in a hurry. Because Eve's the one that messed the whole thing up. But you come over to Mary. Mary had within her the seed of the woman. But that never gave her a new birth. She had to go to the upper room and receive eternal life. Then the seed of the woman was dwelling within her instead of just dwelling within her flesh. It was in her soul, in her being. But so was it in every born again believer. Right? Every born again believer has that eternal life living in your soul, which is the seed of the woman. So why don't you say, well, who am I? I have within me the seed of the woman. Well, you're thinking, well, you're trying to, no, I'm not. I'm just being honest to tell you the truth. That's what the Bible says. That's what the prophet brought to us. But you see, you don't pay attention. Maybe it's not meant to be. That's all right. But see, it means a lot when I read something. And I read there, as I said in the scripture, where it says in Peter, you know, being born again by the incorruptible word of God. That means something to me. That tells me how it took place. That shows me how it would come into being. And how the new birth would be the birth of the word. The word that I heard. Now here's what I tried for the Sunday afternoon to get across. See, when you say that the prophet says that the new birth is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. See, then your mind will automatically transmit in thoughts and try to figure out things. And you'll try to figure out what revelation is it that I'm supposed to get. Is it the seals? Is it the 70 weeks? Is it? Now I'm going to throw a rock hard. Watch now. Every born again believer has the same new birth. Now you shook your head the other day agreeing with that. If you're two or three Sundays in a row, you've agreed that that's the new birth. It's the birth of the word. And that everybody had the same new birth. No matter what age they was in, they had the same new birth. All right, now you've kind of picked up a little bit talking about the seed of the woman that believing that every born-again believer today, every born-again believer's ever been, had within them that seed of the woman, which was Jesus Christ, the new birth. Right? Now let's see if you can swallow it. So Peter and Paul had the same revelation. Now, if you go back and listen to Sunday afternoon's message over again, you'll see what I was saying. Peter and Paul had the same revelation. You say, but Paul had a greater revelation. But Peter saw him personally. Now I'm quoting Brother Branham. It's laying here, okay? Paul had more knowledge, you call it, Holy Ghost, you know, knowledge of the things because of his abilities and the points where he was, being a prophet. But Peter had the same revelation that Paul had. So it's not trying to figure out, well, Wade got a revelation of this, and Brother Donnie got a revelation of that scripture, and Sister got a revelation of this one, and he got a revelation of that one. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? asking you seriously. Think on it. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Well, he was Almighty God. Aren't you getting in good line now? He was God made manifest in flesh. Okay, you're doing good. Keep following it. Don't lose that. But I'm asking you, what is the revelation? You say, well, God didn't reveal nothing to me the day I got born again. Now, you mean the day you got born again that you never realized that you was a sinner and that God had come down and saved you? Come on. No, I shouted. I cried. See, you're still on that hookup. I'm trying to get you off that hookup to get you on a straight line. What happened when you were born again? Well, I heard one person saw this, one person. See, you're on that, you're not listening. The new birth is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Don't you realize then that what happened, the Bible said, the goodness of God is what leadeth thee to repentance. Right? So what would bring you to justification? It would bring you to a repentance, right? Did you not repent? Did you not cry out to God and asking Him to save you? Come on, did you? Because if you didn't, you didn't get it. Remember, well, the prophet taught it. First, you accept Him. But then if He don't accept you, you're not saved. Now, you need to go back 3 or 4 months and listen to some tapes. You think I just drag things out and just... You want to go back 3 or 4 months and listen to some tapes and hear that? Would you do one thing favor for me? Would you go ask Brother Kern what I preached 4, 5, 8, 10 years ago? He'll tell you just what he told me. This is the same thing you taught 10, 20 years ago. Because he's back in there listening to him. He's had enough concern in his heart to go back and listen. And you know what his statement was? Now, he don't like for me saying it like this. I'll just say it anyway. If it gets him in trouble, I'm always in trouble. It don't matter. Do you know what he said? He said, why are some of the questions that are asked in the questions and answers form still the things Brother Dale taught 20 years ago? He said, this is what he taught 20 years ago. Why are you not listening? Okay. Sorry, Brother Kern. Gets you in trouble. At least I won't be by myself. I'll have some help. Because listen, church, I've been preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, and what is the revelation of Jesus Christ for 50 years. You think it's wore out on me to where that I still don't want to preach on? I still like to preach on the new birth. And I don't see why anybody that would have the new birth wouldn't want to hear about the new birth. I like to hear people talk about their experiences. I like to hear them tell about what happened. But see, you wouldn't think about it the way I think about it. Peter is over here following the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. Goes to the upper room and the Holy Ghost falls. Paul meets him on the road to Damascus. Goes to the backside of the desert and stays just for a little piece. And they come out with the same baptism of the Holy Ghost. They both came out with the same faith. Because they ain't but one faith, one Lord, one baptism. But listen. listen, you don't listen. Did you ever have an experience of where you realized you was a sinner and you needed to be saved? Have you ever had that? Well, you know what that was? That was God talking to you. Now, if he was talking to you, why can't you believe that what he was saying was the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you? Well, I just shouted. I just cried. I don't know anything about these other things Brother Dale talks about, because I just done this and I just done that and I know I'm saved. Do you understand what I just said? What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Well, he was in this, he was this. See, there you going. Back up, sit down and listen. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? When God began to speak to your heart, to bringing you to salvation, there is his revelation, because he's coming to tell you what he's going to do. He's going to save you. That's what he's come for. It ain't a revelation. Well, that's a revelation. I found it over here. I was looking in the book the other day and I found it. I found it right there. No? What is sanctification? Well, you don't do this, you quit this, quit that, quit that. Boy, you know a lot about sanctification. Us good old Baptists had a better understanding than that. You say, well, what is sanctification? Sanctification is an inward work to try to cleanse that man. It's not an outward, I quit this and I quit that. That is not sanctification. Sanctification is not I quit drinking, I quit chewing, I quit. Sanctification is the change of your thinking, the change of your nature, your ways, your desires are changing. You become closer to God through sanctification. Now you tell me that ain't a revelation. It's because you don't know what a revelation is. A revelation is God speaking to your heart. To not tell you something over here, this, that. Well, I want you to know this, don't you? No. He's telling you what you are. He's dealing with your nature. Do you understand? See, when Jesus Christ called you to himself, that was a revelation to you of him revealing himself to you. How simple. See, we think it's some great thing. How simple. Listen. That when Jesus Christ called you to come to himself, now, is that Bible? The Bible says no man can come unless I call him. Right? Now, is that Bible? You can't come because you want to come. You come because he called you. Well, why don't you take what he done when he was calling you as to be a revelation? Because he was revealing himself to you. See, when God gives you something, then that what is given is the word being revealed to you. Listen, church. God is speaking to you, calling you to himself. Yeah, but I remember when Paul saw him on the road to Damascus. I want to be like Paul. No, you don't want to be like Paul. That's what I've always told you. Someone said Paul to be this, Paul to be that. If he's here now, I said Paul would be in jail for midnight tonight. Because he'd be screaming out and hollering about sin, and it wouldn't be the law would be putting him in jail. It'd be the Christians The religious people would be the ones that put him in jail because he didn't understand what he's talking about. When God calls you to sanctification, it's calling you to a closer walk with him. I quit this and I quit that. That's sanctification, Brother Dale. I quit this. Well, I never did drink. There's some things I didn't do that you claim salvation about taking away from you, and I never done it. Oh, trying to be a holier than thou. I ain't worried about holy of what. I'm trying to preach God's word. Sanctification is not you quitting smoking and chewing tobacco and all like that. Sanctification is a cleansing and setting aside inside of your soul to drive that enemy out of you. Right? Take that as a revelation. If you can't see that I haven't had a revelation, Brother Dale, well, take what I'm talking about on it. Through the new birth. Is God revealing his word to you, telling you what he is doing in you? Right? Telling you what he's doing in you. So would that not be a personal revelation? Because it don't save you to say, I saw Brother Branham. Come on. It don't save you to say Brother Branham put his hands on me. No? Now come on. I'm not against it. You say Brother Dale, you ought not. Say, why not? I'm not throwing no stones. If it is, you quit throwing them and I'll quit. Because we're all living in a glass house. Right? You know the story. You don't throw stones if you live in a glass house. It don't work too good. Listen, church. The new birth personally to you. Now, the day he started talking to you about salvation. Right? No? You remember that? You remember when you first come in contact with God? You first, you know, God began to deal with you and begin to bring. You remember that? Well, you know what? Maybe your mama, your daddy was sitting right beside of you. Maybe the pastor was sitting right beside of you. And you know what? He wasn't getting a thing. Right? It was something personal to you. Right? Something personal to you. Something made alive to you. But you see, when I look at things, I look at little bitty things. And I said, Lord, you've been doing this for a long time. You've been revealing yourself for a long time. It's the people getting it. But what it really is, it's because you can make it so big you can't attain unto it. Right? You can make it so small until you belittle it to make it done. You go this way and say, well, I never done like Paul. I never saw no angel. I didn't see this or nothing. I can't even talk about things that Brother Dale talk about, seeing angels. And I can't talk about it because I never done it. Well, what's that got to do with it? You see, I could see those things and die and miss it and go to hell. And you could see the truth out of it and go to heaven. Because gifts and callings is not what it's built on. It's not whether or not you've seen angels, whether or not you've done this, dreams or whatever. It's whether or not God has revealed himself to you. You say he revealed himself to me. You're back to that. Now get what I'm saying about revealing himself to you. When he speaks to your heart and calls you to salvation, is he not revealing himself to you? That's how simple the new birth. Then the children can understand it. The children can know that God has been dealing with them. Right? And then they come back to your mamas and daddies and say, well, I need to be baptized. I need to do this. I need to something, you know, because they're beginning to see things. God is speaking to their heart. He's revealing himself. Well, I never thought about it like that. Well, what are you thinking about? I mean, this is a serious matter. It's either life or death for you and me. But Brother Dale, I've just never had nothing. It's a great revelation. Do you believe in one true and living God? What greater revelation could be? You know that the world is against that? You know that all Christendom is against the revelation of one true and living God? You mean all of the millions of Christians that are out there, they're against the thought of one true and living God? Should you not be happy about what you see? I better not say it, I guess, in the wrong way, but remember, I didn't say it, your prophet said it, okay? He said, an eagle struts. You remember that? You remember that, the prophet saying that an eagle struts? Well, you know what? Why can't we strut? Why can't we be happy about what God's done? Why can we not be joyous instead of, oh, well, I'm sick. I'm having problems. You don't like for me to preach, do you? Because I can remember where the prophet said, maybe that's put on to you to bring you to the Lord. We don't like that one, do we? We don't like the point that we could be sick, not, as Brother Moat used to say, that people would say, you know, say, we're sick for the glory of the Lord. He said, now if you're going that way, said, you got a leg off for the glory of the Lord, let's just cut both legs off for the glory of the Lord. Now that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God is trying our faith to see whether or not we'll hold out. And he allows trials and troubles and heartaches to come our way. To see what we'll do. But you know what? It's not for him to see what we'll do. He knows what we'll do. It's for us to find out what we'll do. We're going to fold up and go home. Well, I don't like the way Brother Dale is. He just says that. I'll just quit and go somewhere else. Goodbye. I didn't run you off. I didn't say a word to run you off. I tried to preach the gospel. But if you think it's better somewhere else, go. Because time's running out. But do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand even the little point I was making in the whole message yet Sunday? This is my eye. If I have any of these things, of virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, if I have any of those, God gave it to me to put on my new birth. Huh? I've never tried to make anything out of trying to say, well, I'm this, I'm that, or that. But I did tell you one thing. This is the only thing God ever spoke to me about on it. He spoke to me one day about patience. He said, if you'll have patience with the people, he said, it'll prove you have patience. Well, pretty good point. I wish he'd speak about the rest of them. Because I ain't doing too good on patience, but at least I could get off of that and say, well, Lord, look over here. This is working this way anyway. You know, maybe. All right, listen. Each one of these virtues is given unto us to add to our faith. See, virtue is given to add it to your faith. knowledge, temperance, patience. We'll get back to those points of how it comes into manifestation and what they're doing. But I want you to think about something. I don't do things to be smart-aleckly to show how much I can do or whatever I can, you know. No, I try to get it to where you can see how great God is. Now, he said add. Didn't say add faith. Faith is not a virtue. Faith is a birth. Faith is the new birth. It's not, you can't add the new birth to anything because it has to be the product itself. Justification and sanctification, just taking care of the vessel, God comes and lives. That is not him going through that justification, sanctification. It's him coming as a new birth to live inside of us. And then we have an opportunity to study the message and to hear these virtues explained by the prophet. Because that's what I've always said. See, the Apostle Peter, you remember how we've been through this over and over. Peter and Paul couldn't teach two different things now. Peter's teaching the statue of perfect man from Peter. Paul is going through the adoptions and the thing. And if you'll read blasphemous names, you'll hear him dealing more with Paul, basically, than he does with Peter. But he's still teaching the statue of perfect man from the lady's dream that she had. All right. It says add to your faith. All right, we've established the new birth is that faith. And then as you progress in your studies, then things can be added. Well, Brother Dale, I think I've got brotherly kindness, but I don't believe I've got patience or virtue. Now, that won't work now. I'm just telling you up front now. That don't work. Don't go that route. Don't think you're going to jump up the ladder and get the Holy Ghost up the top when you ain't even got virtue down at the bottom. Because each one has got to be laid upon the other one and vulcanized together and sealed together. Am I quoting the prophets? You're supposed to be reading the message. All right. Now, then, how many church age messengers are there? How many church age messengers are there? How many church ages are there? There's seven. How many messengers are there? Seven. Okay. How many virtues are they? How many ads are they? Well, you're just getting us all riled up. Yeah. Just trying to get it sensible to be truthful. You see, if you don't understand the ages, how are you going to understand all of it and it fitting? Okay. How many manifestations of God are there in the church ages? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8. Because this is the Holy Ghost is sealed in. So don't try to make that and make 9 out of it. See, you're going too far thinking you're so smart. That's 9. No. How many manifestations of God are there in the church ages? Well, there's only 7 church ages. Then you're still hooked in time because you're in Laodicea. Yeah. How many manifestations of God are there? Each one of these is a manifestation of God. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. That's 8. Well, I don't know where it's important for me to know that faith is not a birth, or not a thing. It's a birth, and all that we've been through that way. Okay, let's count again. Let me find it. Number 8, if they can get it, pull it up. But it's paragraph 217 of God's only provided place of worship. Brother Brown said there's 7 ads. Well, how can you got 8 here and 7 here? He's exactly right. 7 ads. Let's count completely. 7 church ages. Add grace, add this, then there's 7 ads. And the last one is Christ. Who's that? And this is your charity, which is what? Your headstone. Now, we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Boy, we're really getting all in there. We've got to have numbers all messed up, man. But how many ads? You ain't listening. Don't add faith. Faith is not an ad. It's a birth. Okay, now then, faith is a birth. Add virtue. You got 7 ads with 8 manifestations. Same as you got 7 church ages with 8 manifestations. Because Brother Branham was not the Laodicean messenger. Brother Branham was in the time of the Laodicean, but he said, don't do that. He said, you would make me a Laodicean. Okay, take your church ages. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba. Brother Branham said that there was no messenger to the age of Laodicea. He said, because the Holy Ghost came himself. 464 seal book. That there is no messenger to the Laodicean age. He said, because the Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism, but says, as all the other ages and things are, at the end of the age, then the messenger comes. Where'd Brother Branham come? Did Brother Branham come here and bring a message to that, or did he come right here? Come on. But you see, you say, well, it don't matter, buddy. You don't know what age you're in. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what has happened. Well, yet it don't matter to you. All I need is just be born again. All I want to do is be saved. That's what my brother said years ago. He said, what does it matter whether this, that, or the other about things? I was talking to him one day, Methodist, and I was discussing some things with him. He said, what does it matter? He said, all I want to do is get to heaven. That's all he said. All I want to do is get to heaven. Well, we've had 50 years to play with that little toy. That all we want to do is get in the rapture. All right, how did we wind up Sunday? I ain't looking for the rapture. I quit looking for the rapture when I heard the prophet say, your resurrection is inside of you. Read your Bible. It says what? It don't say rapture. It's not even in there. But it says the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of archangel, trumpet. We got that right. But what does he say? What's the next thing for you and I? The resurrection. Because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed. So don't worry about the rapture. Worry about the resurrection. All right. The prophet said your resurrection is inside of you. That's your new birth. When I saw that, I began to shout, glory, hallelujah. I quit looking for some kind of a something to be a rapture. I started looking to see what the resurrection had for me. The prophet said, no divine healing, no resurrection. Right? Think about it. Little simple point. It's my eye. God gave it to me. He gave me the new birth. It's mine. He can't take it away because he promised it. So he gave me eternal life in the new birth. Then these are the things he expects us to add. And like I've always said, people think that I try to belittle this, try to belittle that. You realize what would have happened had God not sent a prophet? Where would we note anything about the ages and the rapture or the change or the resurrection or anything? Come on. Glory, hallelujah, for a rapture. Yeah, but what if we're not there? What if we don't know what bus to get on? Well, a denomination is teaching rapture. Right? Go down to Masonic Lodge and they'll lay it right out down in the, on the floor with you and take you from faith, virtue, knowledge, temper, spaces, godliness, brotherly kindness. Call it a staircase lecture. A lot of people teach a lot of things that the people in this message don't even know anything about. Because they don't want it. They have to think. I thought I was doing pretty good till you start preaching. Well, okay. It's my eye. God gave it to me. He gave me the new birth. The new birth is faith. Have faith and be born again. Then add virtue, knowledge, all to faith. And you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 adds. Now you got the headstone on the church. No, this down here is an ad. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now you, well, I got the headstone up now. You ain't got the seven because they ain't but seven ads. They ain't but seven church ages. But the Holy Ghost came on Azusa Street. I'm quoting Brother Branham. Holy Ghost came on Azusa Street in the fullness of the baptism. You know that a lot of people in this message still think that Azusa Street people didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, didn't have nothing. Come on, church, wake up. Listen to what you're hearing. Man stood right here years ago. But he stood right down at Gillsville. And I told him then he was wrong. He came right here and preached the same thing. That Azusa Street and them was false. Of course, he's the guy that couldn't preach error. Well, you shouldn't say things. If the truth is the truth, it's about time to wake up. Come on, musician. Think on these things. My faith. God gave it to me. New birth. God gave me the new birth. But now listen, church, come on. God gave you the new birth, but he expects you. And what's the closing point? He expects you to add the virtues.
That's right. Amen.
That's what your prophet said in the message, Stature of Perfect Man. He said these are the things he expects you to add. Well, how can I add them? You can add them by getting rid of that attitude right there. Because you got the attitude, well, I can't do it and you can't do it. That's why we're here, because none of us has got nothing. I differ with you. You can pitty-patter around all you want to and stay here in Laodicea. But just remember, somebody is going to walk off this earth. And I'm going to believe the word and walk in it and see where it fits or not. Okay, what we got, brother? Let's stand together.
I've been changed, amen. Hey, Flay.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. I've been changed, I've been reborn, all my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has its way. All my life, praise God, has been changed.
See, God is supplying us the material, but he expects us to put it in the right place.
But today I am free. I was lost in
now that ought to go across, but it won't. He expects you to put it in the right place. He gave it to you.
I've been reborn.
He expects you to find out what to do with it.
What a
I remember the first time I read Statue of Perfect Man.
All my life, praise God,
when I read down through there on virtue, and he
when
said it's not
in his presence,
a virgin
I'll
woman in this cave. What is it then?
And I thank him for giving
he didn't answer that in the next two or three paragraphs.
A new home
and I don't die.
Beyond the
all
skies,
at once he said, virtue is strength.
I've
I said, well,
reborn.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
All my life has been rearranged.
He said, you got to have strength like he had it.
When the Lord has his way.
Well, how did he have strength?
Praise God, has been changed.
A guy named Moon broke the record just the other day. Bench pressed 755 pounds. Well, that ain't strength. That ain't strength. My God raised the whole world and held it up and holds it right now. Right? If you want to deal with strength, it ain't that. He said strength is like what he had. He said he lived the life, and that was his pace to let it come out to me and you. We don't need to exercise our muscles. We need to exercise the studying of the word. But now if all we're going to do is read Greer's Almanac, we're going to get Greer's Almanac, and that will be our religion. But a revelation will change us. Go ahead, one more, then we'll go.
Create
I just hope you'll understand.
In me a clean heart, oh God, and renew thy spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew thy spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Father, we thank you for tonight, and we pray that what we said has been worthy. Father, if it's not, then forgive us. Just make everything right. It's all into your hands, because that's all we can do is try to give out what's been given to us. We love you, and we thank you. And I pray that the people would not get the wrong attitude of me screaming and hollering to try to, but Lord, it's something to scream about. When we say, the prophet said so and so, and people just look and wonder, is that true? Help us to study the word to know, because your word said, study to be approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So just come on the scene with us and manifest yourself. And Father, be with everybody on the way home. Give a safe journey. Let your loving grace be with us in Jesus' name. You're